Let's begin.
This is the Boss.
I'm the Boss.
And the Gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that.
So hour number one of the show, The Boss and the Gloss, hour number one has been presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. How about that?
I love it. Thank you, Rocket Mortgage.
Thank you, Rocket Mortgage. Well, thank you, NFL, because we just went through the whole first hour.
My goodness.
We dealt with a lot of topics in the NFL, and we never even really talked about the Steelers. Just amazing, because the Steelers are in the news for all the wrong reasons. You've got the Bell departure. Brown's going to get traded. Well, and trouble with Big Ben. I mean, Kevin Colbert and all he had to say this week. And then I'll just give you this one. Juju Smith-Schuster. He likes to play pickup football in a mall. How smart is that? He almost ran into the glass.
He almost went through the window. There might be a new clause in his contract starting today.
All right, but we're going to have to spend a little time on the Steelers later. We got to come back to them.
And we're going to have to spend a lot of time on the Steelers.
Okay.
They're not easy.
It's
as Pittsburgh turns over there.
But we have a little baseball talk coming up. We've got the great Allison Footer of MLB.com. She's going to join us. And, well, I want to get her opinion on where Bryce Harper's going to finally land. I mean, presumably Scott Boras will put all these owners out of their misery sooner rather than later.
And I want to ask her about the ripple effect of the Machado deal. I don't think the buck stops with Manny.
No, I don't think
so. There's more to go.
There's a lot more money to be spent. And Astros, looking for the number five starter. It'd be interesting to see whom she thinks will land in that role.
And with, you know, Carlos Correa got extension coming up. Is he going to demand Machado money? Did that set a stage?
Yeah.
They're similar in age, similar in ability. I don't know. Makes me nervous.
Well, when you speak money in the Astros, everybody always looks ahead to next year. Both Gerrit Cole and Verlander will be free agents. And presumably they're not going to be able to keep both of their number one and their number two.
So let's win now and just get that over with.
Win now for the Astros. Okay, well, we get a chance to ask Allison Footer. She is a guru on all these things. When we return, we'll ask her, well, start with, where will Bryce Harper land when we return on SB Nation Radio?
Birthdays, holidays, anniversaries, whatever the occasion is, Gifting Map has you covered. Visit GiftingMap.com for great gifts. That's GiftingMap.com, your map to great gifting. This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, joining us now on SB Nation Radio is Allison Footer of MLB.com. Allison, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, great to have you, and I'd love to start with the big topic of the day, which is where will Bryce Harper land? What are you seeing?
Oh, gosh. who knows? Because every few hours, it seems like there's some new news or a new rumor. It sounds like the Phillies want him. It also seems like maybe he's hoping that somebody else jumps in. Maybe he doesn't want the Phillies. I mean, it's really hard to tell. The Giants seem to be interested for a while. But I mean, it is impossible to really tell because it's not late in spring training, but it is, in full swing spring training. And, you know, it's very disconcerting to see a lot of, extremely good major league contributors, still without teams and without jobs. And certainly I just would like to see the Bryce Harper thing be resolved for everyone, for everyone's sake. You know, who really knows? I mean, this thing could go on for a while. Maybe he'll sign like a 1-year deal for like $40 million. I mean, that's, you know, the other thing that could happen, but it's impossible to really gauge what's going to happen at this point.
And Allison, do you think that Scott Boras is being shrewd in this situation, like waiting for Machado to strike first? So now he and Bryce Harper hold the cards in this whole situation.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that you're talking about two players who are 26 years old. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what made this whole free agency thing such a unique situation, is that these guys are so young. I mean, 26 is usually when you're just like getting maybe into your second year of arbitration, and already, so if you sign these guys to a 10-year deal, it still could be a good contract because they're still going to be relatively young when it's over. It's not going to be an Albert Pujols type albatross anymore. So, you know, Scott Boras is in an interesting kind of conundrum right now, because he's needing to broker deals for these players, and he's also seeing how quickly things are changing within the industry and how these big long-term deals aren't really being offered as much. And so on one hand, you probably have a very antsy player who's anxious to get going. On the other hand, he has a responsibility to get these guys as much money as possible in a time where, I mean, the players are just getting angrier. And the Players Association is just getting angrier. So it's just really strange. But, yeah, you know that Boras is trying to top Manny Machado's offer, even if it's by $1. That's a little exaggeration, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yes, I'm sure. We're talking to Allison Footer of MLB.com. So there has been a slow free agent season, and even now, let's assume Harper signs in the next couple of days, even now, Dallas Keuchel, Craig Kimbrell, there are still big names out there. What do you attribute the thaw to? Why has this happened? Who's driving this?
Well, I mean, I think that there's a lot of different factors. I mean, I think it's hard to just pinpoint one thing, because, I mean, it's a very true reality that the way that teams evaluate young talent and the talent that they scout themselves, the talent that they draft and develop, is much different in just how they're able to project and to get the most out of these guys. So, you know, when you're talking about a Dallas Keuchel who probably wanted a 4 or 5 year deal, and you're also seeing, you know, he's 31, and there's a lot of teams that feel like the decline might start, you know, moving forward. And he has had health issues, and one of those health issues was a problem with his neck, which is a very scary place to have an injury when you're a pitcher. You know, with Craig Kimbrell, I mean, I think he probably wanted 6 years. And, if you know, 10 years ago, he would have absolutely gotten that. He probably would have gotten that by the end of the winter meeting. But you're just not seeing that now. I think Kimbrell, I think that's like more of kind of a travesty that he's not being signed, because he's still a premier closer in the game. And there are so many teams that could use him. And you're just not seeing it right now. So what I think is just happening is that these guys, you know, look at Marwin Gonzalez. He signed a 2-year deal. I'm sure he was looking for 4. So at some point, I'm sure the offers are out there, and they're just for shorter amounts of time. And it's just who's going to blink. And I have a feeling that the players are going to have to blink, because teams are ready mm-hmm. to move on.
Mm-hmm. So true, Allison. We're broadcasting from here in Houston. So, of course, I have to ask you about our hometown Astros. So I'm looking at the core four in Altuve, Correa, Bregman, and Springer. So glad they're all back, but all of them back from injuries, you know, knees, back, elbow, thumb. Does that give you any concern for the Astros with the core four?
I think that, you know, concern is, I mean, definitely, because you know, you don't know how players are going to heal. You don't know how they're going to bounce back. Altuve played in his first spring training game today. He DH'd. He had 2 at-bats. And it was just like, you know, AJ Hinch said after the game, like, this is a big deal. Like, people don't realize how much a player has to go through when he mm-hmm. is injured and then recovering from that. I would say if we want to keep our eye on any of them, I would say Correa is the one that I'm keeping my eye on, because
of the back situation.
Well, I mean, it's a lower back. Like, what 24-year-old has a lower back problem? So I think that's just like, that sent off a few alarm bells for me last year. It's not a broken kneecap or a, you know, a jammed thumb. It's, you know, a back issue, which is right now just like it seems to have come and gone. And you just don't want it to be a thing that lingers on. But he's such a young person. That's what I'm keeping my eye on. But yeah, if those guys are healthy, I mean, the window is wide open again for them to win a World Series. So it would be a shame if any of these guys have to go through injury issues again.
We're talking to Allison Footer of MLB.com. Let's stick to the Astros for a minute. I mean, they lost Morton. They probably are going to lose Keuchel. McCullers is out for the year. Are you concerned about their starting rotation?
You know, it's funny. I guess fans were a little disconcerted over the offseason because they didn't land that big name starting pitcher. I'm here in spring training watching Force Whitley. I'm like, okay, so he's not making the team out of spring training. He will not be on the opening day roster, but he's going to most likely be a Houston Astro at some time this season, and probably sooner than later. So when there's definitely a void of that guy who's done that before. And, you know, getting that 180 inning guy in there that they know is going to be able to give that to them. So, that's maybe a little worrisome, but I foresee, you know, Colin McHugh probably not having many issues moving back to the rotation. I think Brad Peacock might win that fifth starter spot, because they're going to need guys that have kind of been there and done that. But I'm telling you, there are some unbelievable arms that are going to start the season at AAA, and we're going to see him in Force Whitley. Force Whitley is the real deal, and I think we're going to see him pretty soon.
At 20 years old, unbelievable. I wonder if he'll have Daddy on his jersey when he makes his major league debut.
He's handled all of this so well. I mean, he is so polished. You know, I'm almost like, okay, dude, don't be too polished, because, you know, there's a learning curve with this whole thing. He's very tall. He's very thin. He's very tall. He's got a very commanding presence, and he just, his answers, you know, just the ease of which he's like talking to the media, and he wasn't nervous at all, you know, pitching today. He was following Verlander, in the spring training game, and he was, you know, he was dealing. I mean, it's way too early to make any kind of assessments on what's going to happen to these guys throughout the season. But as far as like having, you know, all the tools, you can just see where this guy could have a very good major league career, because he's pretty special.
Well, I love, and you look at what a difference a year makes. I mean, last year at this time, he has a drug suspension, and look in a year how he has matured, how he's handling, you know, where he is right now at spring training, and how he's, you know, showing himself to the Astros organization and everybody else. That's impressive. What about Kyle Tucker? What do you see? What do you see happening with him this season?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be interesting, because, I mean, we haven't really seen much from him. So mm-hmm. We just know that he's one of the top prospects in terms of position players. We have not seen that on the major league level. I don't think that you can, you know, take too much out of his performance last year, even though he didn't do anything to convince the Astros that he needed to, you know, have one of those starting spots in the outfield. It's going to be almost impossible for him to make the team as a starting outfielder now that they have Michael Brantley, who's, you know, by the way, a fantastic hitter who's just been playing in Cleveland this whole time. So a lot of people don't really know a lot about him, and he's had some injury issues, but he's as good of a contact hitter as probably Alex Bregman. So I can't wait to see him hitting in this lineup. So Kyle Tucker is a guy that, you know, they weren't willing to part with to get JT Realmuto. So clearly the front office is very attached to him. And I think that the people in uniform are a little more iffy on him in terms of him really coming through and being a bona fide outfielder. But he has, you know, all the numbers there. There's really not much more that he can do at AAA. He's just going to have to wait his turn, and he's going to have to show that he can hit the major league level if and when he ever gets that opportunity.
That's Allison Footer. You can read her on MLB.com. Allison, thank you so much for joining us here on the Boston The Gloss.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Carla, I ask this of you every single week, and that is I really, really, really want you to shop O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Gonna do it.
They have thousands of parts and accessories in stock, brands you trust, like Wagner Brakes, Monroe Shocks, Superstar Batteries, Wix Filters, and more. They can even get those hard-to-find parts, most with overnight delivery. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Allison Footer rocks.
She rocks. She's great.
She's both knowledgeable and personable. Mm-hmm.
She's got the two ables.
Love her insights. Of course, I wanted to get her talking Red Sox, but we didn't have time to go there. But it is interesting when we talk about Astros. Gonzalez was a guy you hate. Marwin Gonzalez, you hated to see him leave.
Breaking up is hard to do. I really was sad to see him go. A great utility man. Just loved his presence. And he just fit in with everybody. I mean, he was just such a key cog. He was really a difference maker in the 2017 World Series.
Well.
So, darn. Now he's in Minnesota.
I mean, they've got a good team. She also 20. Talked about Brantley picking him up for that outfield.
Oh, that's a great
that
pickup.
That was a great pickup by the Astros. I did think they were going to pick up a big-name starter, but when you hear her gush about the young arms coming up in the farm system of the Astros.
She didn't sound worried.
I guess they didn't need to stretch to get a Corey Kluber for a lot of money as well.
And I think she's right about Brad Peacock. I mean, that's my gut, is that he's going to win the fifth spot.
Well, he probably will at the
start. I hope so. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So I need to tell you something that happened to me on Saturday night. Jose, I want you to help me out with this. So I thought that I could just calmly watch the Rockets and Warriors basketball game and enjoy the experience.
Right.
And you know how sometimes when you're watching a basketball game, particularly a game that's not that entertaining, that's very one-sided, you start to see, well, you look at who the VIPs are that are sitting on the floor down right at the edge of the game, because it's always these people, and they're all dressed to the nines, and usually there's some celebrities.
Oh, they're fancy people courtside.
Fancy people courtside.
That's a fact.
Well, I was watching, and I was looking, and trying to figure out who was there, and all of a sudden, I saw her. There she was.
Who was it?
On the court.
Was she wearing that?
It was the gloss.
Was she wearing that sweater?
She wasn't wearing that sweater.
I had Oakland versus everybody on. That was my tea.
Yeah, she was dressed for the Warriors. But
you didn't
invite us. I didn't, and she didn't even tell me she was going to be on there. I just had to discover her.
Sometimes my secret life, it just has to be secret.
That secret life of hers, she was up
there. I'm testing you all if you're watching the Rockets.
Who knows what she's doing up there following the Warriors on courtside seats.
So do we have to watch every Rockets game now and make sure you're not on the front row?
This one was in Oakland, dear. So you got to follow
me
out west.
Flown up there, probably on a private jet.
I'm not even joking, Jose. He's looking at me like I'm lying.
No, this is based on
this
a true story.
I have the pictures to prove it.
Okay.
It was fun.
But you're a Warriors fan at heart. You love your Rockets as well. But it was not a good night for the Warriors. Amazing.
No.
The Rockets, without James Harden, still
without Iman Shumpert.
Yeah, still beat the Warriors. How can that be? You were there. What did you see?
I saw when the game started, I thought, wait, is this really the start of the game? It looked like a Sunday afternoon shoot around. The Warriors just rolled out of bed.
Yeah.
It was a 5:30 start, but they do that on the weekends anyway. But it was really disappointing. And at one point, I think the Warriors were scoreless for almost 7 minutes of the first quarter. They missed everything. From layups to threes, 17 turnovers on the night. It was like having, I grew up as a Warriors fan for, I won't even say how many years because don't like that kind of math. I was so disappointed. I thought, what is this? I don't know how long they've ever had a 7-minute drought of not scoring to start a game.
Well, and Steve Kerr did note after the game that perhaps when they saw that Harden was not going to play, that they just thought, oh, we've got this one, we can mail it in. But you can't do that night in and night out in the NBA. You've got to show up and play.
No, and I do think the Warriors champions 3 out of the last 4 years. I do think there's a little complacency that sets in. 82-game season is long. In the year that they gunned it to win, you know, to set the record for wins, which they did at 74 in the NBA, they lost in the championship. They were out of juice by that time.
Right.
And I think they don't want that to happen again. However, they also could show up, which would be nice. But, you know what, the hard thing for me to see was nobody in the NBA wanted DeMarcus Cousins when he was on the free agent market. The Warriors pick him up for a song and $1 million because he calls them and says, hey, I want to come play for you. And everybody is hating the Warriors again for this. Well, let me tell you, watch that game on Saturday night and you're not going to be hating them. He is coming back from an Achilles injury, which is really, really, really tough. Tough injury to come back from. I mean, he got burned on the pick and rolls all night long. He was missing wide open shots. He had a really tough night. I don't think he's not up to boogie form yet. That's for sure. I think he may have come back a little
too
soon.
But he's had some flashes where
he has
played well, made shots, played some good defense. He's the big presence they really hope to have come playoff time.
I think what I would do if I was Kerr is not start him. I would have him come off the bench as a scary presence.
Right.
I would start Kevon Looney or Iguodala and do something a little bit different while Boogie Cousins ramps up to his form. Because they really don't, quote, need him until playoff time.
No, I'm not even sure they need him in playoff time either. But
yeah, they don't quote need him.
No, but they'd love to have him in the fold. I mean, that was a big part of the plan at the beginning of the year, that by the end of the year, he would be worked in the rotation, he'd be healthy, and he'd be an impact player.
And he was itching to come back. I want to be clear that I am not saying that the Warriors put him out in that court too soon. He really wants to be out on that court, and I can understand that. I also want to note my other observation that I thought was fascinating was seeing Steve Kerr. I mean, I kept saying, why is he not calling a timeout?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, you know, 15 unanswered points to start the game. And I really think that Kerr, it wasn't that fundamentally anything was wrong. It wasn't that they weren't able to pick up the pick and roll or, you know, zone deep, none of it. I think he just saw, these guys are not ready to play.
Hmm.
I did not get them ready to play. They have no energy. I think he in his mind, I think, said, you know what? I'm not going to help them eke out a close one when they don't, you know, they're not giving it all to win. Let them figure it out. These are big boys. And he did. He really let them play through this. And they did make a run for it at the end of the first, and then kind of turnovers killed them.
Well, maybe sometimes coaching is letting the players figure it out themselves, and that time he did. Now, another team that's not showing up to play very well right now is the Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, even with LeBron back, their record is not good. They're 3-5 with LeBron.
And they were 6-11 with him out. That's a virtually the same win-loss percentage.
They're not going to make the playoffs.
I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. They have the fifth hardest remaining schedule in this last 20-something game, and they give them a 6% chance to make the playoffs.
Well, where we are with them right now is it's not good for the league. I mean, everybody, the league needs LeBron in the playoffs, and when he went to the Lakers, the premise was, of course, you could put enough pieces around him with Rondo, and then, of course, you had Ball and Kuzma and a real core there that could grow up together around LeBron, and that he would lead them. But I don't think that the tone in that locker room looks very good.
Well, he's leading them. He's just not leading them in the right direction, meaning that whole Anthony Davis fiasco, which is what it was.
Yep.
And I think these younger players saw it as LeBron signing off. There's no way in these young players' minds, this is Ball, Kuzma, you know, who's the other one I'm thinking of? Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
They're not sitting there thinking, oh, yeah, LeBron didn't care what happened. They're thinking Lakers office is checking off with LeBron to make sure this is what he wants, and he wanted us out. And so I think at their, you know, young NBA career, they are not confident enough to say, okay, I'm going to just roll back in the lineup with him, knowing he wanted me out that door and did not find me worthy enough to play on the same court with him. I think that's what's going on in that locker room. What do you think? Am I being crazy?
No, I think it's got to be toxic. I really do. And I look at that team now. They'll get to the offseason, and they're going to have to trade away a couple of pieces. Whether they can get Anthony Davis or not, I don't know. But they're likely going to have to trade either a Ball or a Kuzma or an Ingram. They've got to get one or two of them out of the building so they can create the culture they need to position for a new run.
And the tough thing is, it is a business. The NBA is a business.
Yep.
But these young guys, they're too new to the sport to realize to be toughened around, it's a business. This hurts. It's personal.
Okay, another team that is not executing well down the stretch, but for a very different reason. The Knicks won two out of three games.
They can't even lose well. Like,
they
seriously?
They need to stop winning.
Oh, my God.
Mount Zion is at stake. I mean, they've got nothing to play for. They really are positioning themselves to pick up guys in the free agent season. They've got max contracts, two they could sign, and if they can draft, they could luck into, well, really either Zion Williamson or R.J. Barrett, because R.J. Barrett looks to me like he might be the equivalent. This is a guy who has really stepped up and played well in the absence of Zion
Williamson.
Yes,
he has, and he's incredible from Canada. He would be a fantastic pickup. But, you know, the Knicks are so interesting because you look at how poorly they have performed in, like, basically our lifetime.
Forever.
Because we're very young.
They got a shout out at the Academy Awards. But
yes,
no,
they did.
But no,
because they stupidly won a game
right
against San Antonio. But the interesting thing is they are a $4 billion valued franchise.
Yes,
highest valued in the NBA and, you know, top five in all sports teams.
Yep.
$4 billion. So what incentive do they have to win?
Hard to explain.
Crazy.
Right now, they need to lose.
They need to get that high pick.
They need to be a tanker. All right, when we return, we'll have the He Said, She Said segment. We'll look at what luminaries across the globe have said in the world of sports, and we'll give our analysis and opinion. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss, SB Nation Radio.
Birthdays, holidays, anniversaries, whatever the occasion is, Gifting Map has you covered. Visit GiftingMap.com for great gifts. That's GiftingMap.com, your map to great gifting. This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, we get to return and conclude with the He Said, She Said segment, where we look at what sports luminaries have said, and we'll offer our own commentary. Let's begin with James Harrison, the outstanding...
Our friend from the Super Bowl.
We met him at Radio Row, and he weighed in this week on the issues the Steelers are having with both, well, really, with Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown now, are struggling fitting in with the Steelers and where the accountability should fall.
You know, I start off at the same thing with Tomlin. The head guy has to be the one that has to, take charge. You know, I believe it's fought on, you know, even with my situation, it's fought on me. You know, it's fought on, Tomlin. It's fought on, you know, even the team. It's got to this point because Tomlin has allowed a certain amount of things to go on, and rather players take advantage of that or step beyond that, it has got to a point to where it's so far out that now he can't rein it back in, so to speak. With that being the case, it's Tomlin. You know, it could be some blame on AB. It could be some blame on Ben. You know, it can go around.
He just hit the nail on the head. I love Mike Tomlin as a football mind and as a person. He runs too loose of a ship here. Hmm. He has lost control.
Yep.
And when you look at the Steelers overall, I see a leaderless team. Like we have the issues here with Mike Tomlin that he really trusted his players to act like professional men, and they didn't. You look at the quarterback, who should also be a leader. I don't see Big Ben as a leader at all for a variety of reasons, which we'll get to in this segment. And look at their GM, Kevin Colbert, and things that he said this week.
Yep.
Where's the leader in the organization?
All right, well, let's go to the next one because these are coupled together. Hines Ward, another great Steeler former player, mm-hmm. He pointed fingers at his former quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, saying that Ben needs to be more of a leader.
But it's unfortunate. I mean, two great talents like Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown aren't going to be on the team going into next season. But yes, Ben is the leader of that team. He's been there. He's done that. And, you know, I just think he has to take the initiative to kind of do more as a leader, not just being able to call guys out on his radio show, take them behind, treat them like a, you know, we always say we're a band of brothers. Like, pull me to the side. Let me know what I can do to get better. You don't have to air it out to the public where everyone can hear. So I just think I think he needs to do a better job than that and just get back. For the Steelers, just get back to playing football. Uh-huh. I mean, that's always been our motto, and just lining up and kicking tail. And that's what I think for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They got to get back to just doing that.
Now, Le'Veon.
Something is awry.
I mean, Ben should not be calling out players on his radio show. And he doesn't only call out players.
Yep.
He calls out coaches, his coach as well, and management. And I think the thing that's really, really dividing the locker room is that Big Ben is not held to the same rules as every other Steeler in that locker room. He breaks curfew. He has sexual assault issues. And nothing ever happens to him. There are no consequences. So, and that's not the case for everyone else in that locker room. That's not being a leader. You got to take it for the team. And you don't call out anybody in a public setting, you know, with the media. You take that up in your locker room. That's how you lead.
Well, certainly calling each other out in the public is something they've all now grown accustomed to. That's the new normal. I mean, Antonio Brown has been effusive of the last few weeks.
Well, he's learned from look at the example he's got to follow, his QB.
Yeah. No, it's a mess. Bad news for the Steelers, yeah. No doubt. Let's shift gear to Kyler Murray, who's ascending the draft pick. So he did not know. He says he didn't know how the NFL felt about him prior to his great Heisman Trophy season.
I've been a football player my whole life. I feel like, I was
like I said, you know, going into this season was to put myself in the best position possible to hopefully, I didn't know how the NFL felt about me, you know, before the season because I hadn't played. So, like I said, coming in the season, just be me, play my game. And, you know, obviously when you win, you know, good things happen and a lot of good stuff happened this year.
So some people have questioned, is he really committed to playing in the NFL? And if he doesn't get drafted high enough, say he were to get drafted at, say, 30, that he might just go back to baseball. But I really don't see that to be the case. From all I've heard, football is his first passion, point one. But point two, he got a nice deal with the A's. He was drafted number 9 overall. And he didn't even need to play this season with the Sooners. He could have just committed to baseball and gone on to a baseball career. But he wanted to play football, even though he had not done well in college football to date. So his commitment to play that extra year to see how far he could go just shows to me, yeah, football is his number one sport.
Okay, well, that's an interesting way to look at it. I like that. Because, you know, the A's still own his rights. But he said, you know, he was I saw a press conference where he was talking about how hard it was to tell the A's no, because he and his agent and family had sat there and said, I'm definitely going to play baseball.
Sure.
And
well, at that moment, he had no success in college.
Right.
How could he even think he was going to have an NFL career?
Right. But then don't tell someone you're absolutely going to play it, because now NFL teams can come back and say, but wait, if times, you know, fall hard on you, are you going to work or are you going to say, sorry, didn't expect things were going to be this bad. I'm going to go back to the A's.
Well, there are the two hits against him that may make him slide in the draft. That is one. Could he slide back to baseball? And, of course, the other is his height.
But when you're holding a Heisman Trophy, that you don't worry as much, I guess.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the next one. Boogie Cousins. This is Boogie talking about how hard it's been to recover and play at a high level. This is talking after the Rockets' loss last Saturday night.
It's tough. I mean, you know, trying to get back to being myself and also just knowing guys are coming at me. There's nobody in this league is going to feel sorry for me, and I know that. I'm going to go out and battle as much as I can and do what I can, but, you know, it still is a process for me, but it's no excuse. So, yeah, it's frustrating. Is it? Every dog has his day. Everything. It's confidence. It's, you know, trusting myself in those situations, trusting myself to shoot the ball, all of that. So, you know, the confidence isn't there, obviously. But, you know, I'm going to keep working at it, and eventually it'll come along for me.
Well, he had a nice rebound, because I was there Saturday night, and it was a really bad performance by most of the Warriors, and most notably Boogie. And you could tell, I mean, I really could tell it was an injury-type situation. It's hard to be consistent coming back from that injury. Rebounded beautifully tonight with a win against Atlanta. He had upwards of 20 points. So I think it's going to be a road for him. But I appreciate him in acknowledging it. And he's not making an excuse about an injury. That's a real deal. That Achilles thing is tough.
You know, going back to the conversation about Saturday night and the Warriors really coming out lackadaisically against the Rockets, it feels like right now the NBA season is just a little bit too long. These last 20 games or so that we've got to finish the season, we'll get to Kyrie Irving in a minute. When the Celtics lost the other day, you could tell he's just looking ahead to the playoffs. The Warriors were looking ahead of the playoffs. At least for Boogie, there's reason to have 20 games here. He can work his game into shape. He can work on those shots. He can work on his timing. For most of the rest of these guys, they're just ready to let the big show begin.
Oh, 100%. You hit the nail on the head. And he, you know, it'll be a road for him. But I think, interestingly enough, the All-Star break is usually at about the halfway point. This was at the two-thirds point.
Yeah, it was.
So that's kind of a good thing, because it's tough to get it going after the All-Star break for a lot of these teams.
All right, let's go to the next. LeBron James is not happy, or at least...
Oh, be darn, really?
Yeah, he wasn't happy after the loss to the Pelicans. And this was a tough loss for those Lakers. And he explained how he feels about losing and about his teammates and about the Lakers' season.
I don't know. It's just been so, like, the last few years, you know, everybody's so accustomed to the losses that I'm just not accustomed to. I would never get comfortable with losing. So, you know, losing game one to Houston, it feels the same way as losing game 59 in New Orleans for me. That's just how I'm built. That's who I am. When you don't really, when you've never been there or know what it takes to actually, you know, shoot for something like that, and sometimes you're afraid to get uncomfortable. You know, so you got to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. So I'm not saying that's what we are as a whole. Kind of looks that way at times. That, you know, sometimes we feel like we're afraid to be uncomfortable, kind of get out of our comfort zone, you know, kind of have that sense of urgency, you know, from the jump, and not be afraid to actually go out and fail to succeed.
So I guess he's saying he's not happy with his teammates. He's just not happy losing. Where is LeBron's head right now?
D, all of the above. So, and, you know, he's right in the sense. I mean, he's a veteran player, clearly.
Yep.
A transcendent talent. And he's right. I mean, you don't learn in your comfort zone. It's you only learn outside of your comfort zone, which is essentially what he's saying. I heard him actually say, and after, I think it was to the Rockets' loss, he said, "I love being uncomfortable." Mm. Well, that does motivate him. Clearly, it's not motivating the rest of these young guys, and he needs to shepherd them along. We know LeBron's going to get his in any way, shape, and form. As a leader and as the voice of that team, he needs to figure out how to get the most out of these guys. And calling him out isn't going to do it.
Fair enough. All right, let's go to another storied franchise that is struggling now, the Celtics. Their point guard, Kyrie Irving, talked about where he thinks or how they'll do in the playoffs. This was coming after a tough loss to the Bulls. Kyrie Irving had this to say.
You know, it is what it is. Like I said, I don't get frustrated about this stuff anymore. It's just part of the regular season, you know, in the playoffs when we could plan for a team, prepare for a team. You know, I still don't see anybody beating us in seven games. So,
see, that's where it just seems like this season's gone on too long. It's ready to go into the playoffs. I mean, he said, look, it doesn't matter. I'm not so worried about the regular season now. I'm focused on the playoffs.
What do you think the good length of season would be?
Well,
82 games is long.
It's a long season. I might say 60.
Mm-hmm. I like 60
as well.
It'll
never go back to that because of the dollars that would be lost.
That's right.
This is an economic case.
Oh,
and the players would have to take a sacrifice in comp too. But it is a long season, and at some point the regular season games just don't seem to have a lot of relevance.
Right.
All right, let's go to the next one. Manny Machado has signed with the Padres. And, well, let's listen to what he had to say about his new role now that he's suddenly a veteran on a young Padres team.
It's awesome. You know, I remember when I came up, you know, we had JJ and Adam, you know, who did it for myself and took me under the wing. So now I'm in the opportunity to, you know, be here with, you know, Tatis and Urias and, you know, help them in whatever way I can and, you know, teach them everything that they taught me growing up. And, you know, they got tremendous talent. Tatis is a special player. I've seen him now 2 days now out here on this field. And, you know, It's pretty special what he could bring to this ball club, and, you know, just to be a part of this and, you know, kind of show him some of the things so that he could get better and take his game to the next level is, you know, it's going to be fun.
Well, let's see
Sounds
if he
good.
Can be that leader. That's right. He's not been known for his hustle on the field.
No.
Now, we got to move quickly here, and I want to get to this one. There was a young Yankees fan.
This is my favorite.
I guess he's about 8 years old. And as a Yankees fan, well, you thought he might be disappointed that they didn't get Machado. But let's hear what he had to say about Machado going to the Padres.
Manny Machado just signed a $300 million deal with the Padres.
Oh, I don't want Machado on the Yankees!
Why not?
Well, it probably
he is so good.
I know it's probably a good thing Machado didn't go to the Yankees. That guy would have had a heart attack at a young age.
You want to hear that voice in your ear all game long? Was that just the best? That was my highlight of my week.
Kind of work here.
He's darn good. I don't want bets. I don't want anyone for that. Oh my goodness, that was too good. That right. made my week.
When we come back, we will wrap it up by taking a look at what we've learned from the Gloss over the last couple of hours. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio has been presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Okay, I love this. I get to go through what I've learned from the gloss over the last couple of hours.
I just want to know why you always pick the shortest segment to do that.
It's what is self-explanatory. No. Let me start with Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga after they sang Shallow. Did he want to kiss her?
Sí, señor.
He did, didn't he?
He did.
He gave her the look.
I don't know if it was a mush, but he wanted to kiss her.
Fair enough. All right, number two. You like the idea of the Cardinals taking Kyler Murray and drafting Rosen, Josh Rosen, to the Patriots for a first-round pick.
I think mix it up a little bit.
Mix it up.
I like it.
It's intriguing. Rosen becomes the successor to Tom Brady. Next, and this deals with Jose, someone whom you feel responsible for, you look after.
I do.
You do not want him going to a place called the Orchids of Asia.
That's right. I'm blocking the doors.
Really?
Yep.
Jose, sorry, you're out.
I think I'm okay with it. What I'm not okay with is her not taking me to Oracle.
Next time, Jose.
Yeah, floor seats at Oracle Stadium watching the Warriors.
I know. It's fancy.
All right, next one. You believe that the fifth starter for the Astros to start the season will be Brad Peacock.
Yes.
It's a good veteran fit.
I've not wavered.
Okay.
Once I saw that spot open, that's exactly who I thought should sink in there.
You think the best quarterback in the draft this year?
Dwayne Haskins.
Dwayne Haskins of Ohio State. He should be the first quarterback off the board. You heard it here first from The Gloss. All right, you've been listening to The Boss and The Gloss. Be sure to stay tuned. The Gold Standard, Alex Gold, coming up next here on SB Nation Radio.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.